Be the change you want to see in the world. This is Dr. Harrell Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with Instant Illumination. Be the change you want to see in the world. These remarks, this statement, was made by a very famous individual, by a man who hated to wear clothes, by a man who loved to be in the sun, by a man who loved to meditate and pray and just be peaceful with himself. And yet, he guided an entire country, an entire nation, into a peaceful, non-resistant attitude. And that's our dear, beloved friend, Gandhi. Be the change you want to see in the world. If you want to see in the world peace, love, harmony, joy, goodness, if you want to see in the world all of these things that are beautiful and good, then you be that. Now, how do you be that? You be that by... I just pulled on my dog here to be that. Down, Rex. Down, 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 down. You see, you have to take a moment to do first things first. If Rex is going to sit here and put in his 2 cents every 5 seconds, it's difficult for me to put in my 10 cents. So, Rex, thank you for sitting, and thank you for staying down and being such a wonderful dog. Be the change you want to see in the world. What change do you want to see in the world? Well, I'd like to see peace in the world. That's a big joke. When you see an argument, do you mentally get into that argument? You're not seeing peace. When you see people who disagree with one another, do you take a side? That's not being peace. Or do you say, all is in divine order? All is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Violence. He didn't think I meant business. And I clucked him on the head with a real hard cluck. It just knocked his head right off. Rex, you okay? He needs a reminder sometimes. He's just a puppy. But love will do it. And I give him lots of love. And I give him lots of direction. But, you see, Rex has one thought in his mind. And that is he's number one. I taught him that. I cannot blame him. He has one thought in mind that this is his world, and it's meant for him to play in. And wherever he goes, that's his playground. Wherever he sees couches, that's for him to jump on and enjoy. Wherever he sees people, that's for him to go and say, I love you, hi, come on, let's play. And you see, that's what I create in him. Now, I want to create in him discipline, so I cluck him on the head. Is that the way to create discipline? Ellen says, no. Why not, Ellen? Why isn't clucking him on the head the way to say discipline? Now, all I want to do is say this to you. I do not do anything without reason. When I clucked him on the head, how many of you thought I should not have done it, or how many of you minded your own business? Huh? The moment you thought I shouldn't have done it, you were part of the lack of peace on earth. If you had said to yourself, all is in divine order, Rex is lying peacefully on the floor. He realizes that this is not the time to play. This is the time to just rest while his daddy gives a talk, you know. And that's the thing to do. Mm-hmm. Now, Ellen insisted that I bring him over here. But Ellen did not agree to tend him and watch him and hold him in line. And you see, this is what goes when you let other people do what is your responsibility. So I brought him over here, and I let him be with us, and he's doing just fine. But I had to remind him what the rules are. Now, okay, if you want peace on earth, what does Gandhi say? Be the change you want to see in the world. You say, I'd like to see peace on earth. Now, how does peace on earth come about? It comes about by our consistency in seeing peace on earth. Here in the monastery, It is a school. It's a school in which you learn self-discipline, you learn self-dedication, self-determination, self-diligence. You learn to be untouchable, you learn to be one-pointed, you learn to be unpossessed, you learn non-judgment, and you learn unconditional love. Now, you cannot learn those things if you have not mastered yourself. When you walk down the street and you fear that there are problems on that street, you will find them. If you walk down the street and you surround everyone with your pure white light of love, you surround everyone with your happy spirit, you live in your own world, you are invisible to anyone who would be unhappy with something. You are only visible to harmony, peace, and love, and joy. Here at the monastery, we have a few rules. And one rule is that you do not judge. One rule is you're not touched. So, when I tell you to do something, you do it. Not because I'm right or I'm wrong, but I'm just working with you as a sharer, as a teacher. So I clucked Rex on the head here, and it sounded terrible, and that was I've learned how to make that sound. It sounded terrible, but didn't hurt him in the slightest. When I take my hand and slap it at Rex, he doesn't duck. You understand? Mm-hmm. He does not fear me, because he knows I'm not hurting him at any time. He knows that I'm getting his attention sometimes. Okay, now, do you know that? And the answer is no. You think that I'm hurting him. You think that I'm doing something mean to him. President Johnson, Lyndon Johnson, President of the United States, he had a dog with long ears. And he always played with that dog, and the dog loved him and thought that Lyndon Johnson was a great... The dog loved him more than America loved him, you know? More than his family loved him, more than everyone. And he was always playing with his dog and having a good time. And one day, he was playing with the dog, and he was holding him by his big, long ears. And he sort of lifted him up a little bit with the ears, you know? And the magazines got it, and the newspapers got it, and they said, he is torturing that dog. He is, you know, abusing that dog. And they had a big, big story about it. Well, he abused lots of things, but not that dog. He loved that dog. He'd die for that dog, you might say. But for his country? We make you wonder sometimes how he ruled and how he handled the budget and the finances and how he handled many things. It makes you wonder sometimes, you know, if the country was full of dogs, it probably would have got better treatment than with being full of people. But you see, this is the principle. This is the principle. If you want to work with somebody, find out what their love is, what their joy is, what their peace is. And with Rex here, he's just pure love. He's just wonderful. He's fantastic in every way. He does naughty things at times from my point of view because he shouldn't do them. But I work with him, and he will learn the rules, and he will learn the rules, and he will follow the rules, and he will be enjoyed all the more for following the rules. He'll learn when it's time to go potty and when it's not. He'll learn what to do, as all dogs must do, living in a family. And he will learn this and do it very well. Now, that's only for dogs and cats, of course, you know, not for people. When people learn to always have a beautiful attitude, they are really desired wherever they go. When people always learn to be harmonious, they are desired wherever they go. Now, Lydia, who thinks she's so very wonderful, she was walking behind her husband. It was in Australia, down a path into the desert, and just having a very pleasant meditative walk. And her husband was up there tromping along, and she was walking behind him. And she thought, sure, with his big boots on and his big noise that he made with everything, that anything that shouldn't be there wouldn't be there. But as she was walking along, her eye caught, right out of the corner of her eye, this beautiful creature who was looking her straight in the eye, almost level with her eye. And she thought to herself, poof! And so she looked back at the creature, And then, in an instant, she made a ballet hop that would have done Paderewski or anybody else, who was fantastic at ballet, very, very delighted. And movement smooth and swift and wonderful. Now, whether the snake would have bit her, whether the snake was poisonous, whether the snake was happy or not happy, made no difference to her. She did not choose to be that close to a snake. And so she was far from a snake. And she created harmony. She didn't create the snake aggressive. Now, the snake didn't chase her. The snake didn't go up and say to her husband, "Tell your wife to slow down, I'm trying to catch her." And you see, she was at peace. She had afterthoughts about it. She felt, my goodness sakes, that was very close to that guy, and I'm not used to being very close to those sort of people, you know. And so, but she released it. However, Lydia is in love with that snake. "Why are you wrinkling your nose, Dodie?"
"Am I?"
Yes, Lydia is in love with that snake because she tells the story again and again and again and again and again and again. And she tells it in all the parties that she goes to and all the circumstances. She doesn't mean it negative, but she just loves that snake. And so she wants the world to know that she loves that snake and thinks that snake is just the greatest thing in the world. Now, Dorothea used to love having been very badly burned in a fire. She used to love it, but she has realized that that's the past, and she does not want to think about it again. She does not want to have it in her life again. She does not want to ever have any attitude about it ever again. When Dorothea, called Dodie or Ruth or whatever names she's called by, when Dorothea goes to start a fire in the fireplace, there is not one tiny, tiny bit of remembrance of the fire that burned her house down. Not one tiny bit. Not one tiny bit. When she lights the fire, she thinks it's it. When Dorothea takes the matchbox and strikes a match to light a candle, not one little thought goes back to the past. She does not live in the past. She does not live in the negative experience, which was really something. Now, someday you got to get Dorothy to tell you the story, Dorothea to tell you the story of her experience. I tell you, it was a great one. It was better than any hurricane, better than any earthquake, better than any, and she tells it with such dramatic quality, and she relives it. She relives it. And she relives all the side elements that went along with it. But Dorothea came to me, and she says, "I like this philosophy." She said, "I want to practice this philosophy." And I told her, "One thing you have to do." And she said, "What is that?" I said, "Give up the past. Live in the present. Live in the now moment." And she said, "Well, you mean I can't tell the story about the fire anymore?" And I said, "Dorothea, the fire never happened. It was in another time." See, she says, "My God, don't you realize it did happen?" "No, no. It was in another time, another dimension, another experience." That was another woman named Dorothea. And the woman that sits before us right now, she's 984 years old. She is vital, alive. Her mind is crisp and alert. And she doesn't even remember those 984 years. All she remembers is now. But you see, if you don't play the game of the monastery here, of the University of Healing, of letting the past go, there's not one single thing we can do for you. Not one single thing we can share with you and show you the way to be. Instant illumination only comes to those who are willing to be the change you want to see in the world. Would you like to see the world at peace or peace? Then don't see it at war. Don't remember it at war. Don't say every 20 years something happens and this and that. You know, that's what they do say. Don't say that anymore. Don't be part of it. Say, my world is peace. My world is power. My world is plenty. My world is joy. My world is everything that is so fantastic and so good. My world is so delightful. My world is filled with good thing. You know, Ingeborg's sitting next to me here, and I have my socks off, and it's a lovely winter's day outside. And so I just take my feet and put them right on top of her warm, cozy toesies, and it's just really very nice. I'm glad you're there for me to put my feet on top of your feet. I'm not too cold, am I? Yeah. He's not heavy, Father. He's my brother. You know, this is the lovely thing. Can you, that's all you have to do. Can you let go of the past and live in the present? Now you say, oh, sure. How old was your husband when he died, Dodie?
Very young, 50.
What?
56.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My husband is alive. My husband lives forever in my heart. My husband may have taken a boat and gone over the ocean, and he's gone off to do some stuff, you know, some embassy stuff, you know, and some, and hey, that doesn't mean that. Have you stopped loving him? Mm-hmm. Do you stop thinking about him occasionally? Does he come up as a happy thought now and then? Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Okay, now, live in the present. If you think of your husband, you think of him right now, don't you? And you think of him as being whatever you want to think of him. Okay, now, what kind of a husband do you think about? Do you think about a husband who is loving, who is kind, who was into all sorts of activities that kept him so happy and so delighted, and you got sick and tired of his activities because you didn't have a mind of your own? But the minute you and your husband separated and he went off to another dimension, went off to another side of the ocean, you started living and you started walking your spiritual path, and you never stopped. And that was 2,000 years ago, and you're doing real great. And you see, now is the time you're doing it. You're living your spiritual path now. And if your husband ever comes to mind, it's as though he is offering you some lovely comment like Ellen's husband. See, Ellen never talked to her husband. Her husband was very quiet and very introspective, and Ellen would be doing all the talking. And then one day Ellen came to her husband and said, I'm God, did you know that? And you're God too, did you know that? He says, I'm glad you found out. Yeah, that's just it. She didn't know that that's where he was, right? She didn't have no idea that he too was an illumined being. And from that moment forward, which includes the now, her husband is an illumined consciousness in her life. And she is an illumined consciousness in her life. She does not think of a time when he was not, when she didn't think he was not. He was, but she didn't think he was. She only lives in the now where she knows he is and she is. And this is where you guys are. You live in the now with whomever you live, with whatever people are in your world, and you live in the awareness that you are divine and they are your creation and they are divine. Lydia's husband is a nothing. If it weren't for Lydia, he wouldn't realize how wonderful he is. He wouldn't realize that he's divine. He wouldn't realize, wouldn't he? Mm-mm. He's your creation. And so if you create him and he is beautiful, you're doing a good job. If you create him and he has edges to polish, you're lazy. You're not doing your job. And it's yours. Now, all you have to do to polish those edges is get out the polish rag and rub. No. How do you polish the edges? It is done. You see yourself so wonderful, so pure, so good. Like Gandhi says here, the change you want to see in the world, that is what you are. Be the change you want to see in the world. When you think that there's something a little amiss, it's your thought. When you see war in the world, when you see illness, when you see poverty, when you see limitation of any kind, that's your thought. So you change your thought and you say, all is in divine order. And when you say all is in divine order, then all is in divine order. Can anything be better than divine order? You know, it's kind of nice. So start saying all is in divine order. Start saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and so does everybody else. all of my creation. They don't know how to live anywhere else except in their original purity and integrity, just like me. I don't know any place else to live except in my original purity and integrity. And whoever is in my world, I create them, and they cannot possibly know any other place to live but in their original purity and integrity. And that's wonderful. But you see, we don't care. We don't care. What does Lydia do? She keeps telling the story of her snake because that was a great adventure. What does Ingeborg do? She keeps telling about her policeman husband and about her mother and father and other people in the world. And then, all of a sudden, Ingeborg began talking about herself. And we said, wow, what a wonderful woman is living inside of there. What a wonderful person is there. And there was no husband who was a policeman. There was no family who was whatever their experiences were. You know, there's only Ingeborg. There's only that wonderful, dynamic, queenly person. Now, what about Gertrude? Are you wonderful, Gertrude?
Yes.
Yes. You got a cough on that one. Now, Gertrude?
Yeah.
Why are you wonderful?
Because I like me.
You are wonderful for no reason at all, but you helping your wonderful self by liking yourself. When you like yourself, you are be the change you want to see in the world. Do you want to see in the world that everyone likes you? Then you like yourself first. Do you want to see everybody in the world thinking you're a competent, capable, wonderful person? No. Then see yourself that way first. And that's not bad. And Sylvia is interesting. Sylvia, you are a master practitioner, a master counselor, a master writer, a master proctor, a master everything. And you know what she wants to be too? She wants to be a master cook. And she knows right where to go to get the products that are all prepared perfectly. So she opens the can and puts them on the stove and warms them up, and they're all perfectly done. Now, you see, is that a master chef? Yes. Yes. A master chef does not have to reinvent the wheel. You find a company that produces good peas, will buy your peas from them always. You understand? You find a company that produces good salmon, and you always buy their salmon. You find a company that produces quality merchandise that you want, and you buy it. You don't go to stores that sell inferior merchandise and then try to make a pig's eye, a sow's hair out of a pig's purse, or whatever, a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You got it. You don't try to do that. You just go directly to make everything from the best. Now, Sylvia, if anyone says that you are a good cook, what are they saying?
That they are good cooks themselves.
That they are good eaters, and they're good cooks too. But you see, that's not a compliment to you. If you did not choose your food well, and you chose food that was inferior, and then you tried to make it taste good by putting lots of butter on it or something like that, it still is not going to be good. But because you listen to the divine in you, you listen to your inner inspiration and follow it, you get the food that's always good. Ingeborg, Sylvia, whatever your name is, who does the shopping? That's it. Who buys the food?
I.
All right. Then don't ever let there be any food around this house that is less than Sylvia quality. You understand that?
Yes, of course.
And if it's going to be Sylvia quality, is it going to be the what?
The best.
The best. And is everybody going to eat it and say, wow, wow, wow?
Yes, yes, yes.
And is that because of you? Or is that... Is that because that you have chosen the perfect food because you cannot choose any other kind?
That's right.
Yeah. You see, that's your nature. Mm-hmm. Now, you want a compliment for that?
No.
No, you can't have a compliment for that. We can't get a compliment for being the kind of people we are. Do you think that Gandhi got a compliment by being the change you want to see in the world? No.
They shot him.
Sure, sure they shot him, and wisely so. wisely so. Herb, wisely so. You know, how terrible of you to say that. Dag Hammarskjöld, you know, he got lost in an airplane, and all these different people, good people, and they die. Why did they die? Because if they had continued living, they would have had to continue living up to the principle they established, and that's kind of tough to do. It's better to exit the scene when you're on top. You know that. It's better to exit the scene when you're Jack Kennedy. It's better to exit the scene when you have everything going your way. And you say, well, man, I mean, does that mean we all have to die? No. It means we all have to exit the scene when we're on top. When everything is in divine order, go into your next project of all in divine order. Go into your next activity or dimension or whatever you want to call it. But don't hang around. In real estate and in sales, they always say, make your sale. Do what you must to make the sale. Talk to them, tell them everything, give them all the details, have them sign the form. And the minute they give you the check, get out of there. Leave as quickly as you can so they don't think of changing their mind. If you're still there, they think they can unpurchase what they bought. If you have left, then they're going to start thinking of all the reasons that their purchase was excellent, that they made a good choice. Now, I'm buying a computer, a Sony Ericsson P210A, on the recommendation of Monica Renate Egli of Switzerland. She bought one, and she brought it around, and she held it under my nose and said, isn't this wonderful, isn't this wonderful, isn't this wonderful, the way she has a tendency to do. And I said, yes, it's quite wonderful. And she said to me, she spent one solid week doing nothing but learning that computer, that telephone gadget. So when she came to me, she would know it all. And she could put on a good show. Well, now, if I said to Monica, Monica, are you still enjoying now, several months later, that beautiful computer, that beautiful telephone that you bought? Monica would say yes, even if she wasn't. Because she made a big investment into it. She encouraged me to buy one. And so she's going to say, wow, it's just the greatest. It's the most wonderful. But you see, it's not. Because new ones are coming out all the time that are even better, that have even more interesting things in them. And if we could wait another 10 years, then we could have something fantastic, you know. But we want it now, because now is when we want to use it. And that's intelligent. Mm-hmm. So, but in truth, Monica could well have lost her initial enthusiasm for it and found that it wasn't exactly what she wanted, because now there's a new one that she's seen that she wants, you know. But if I know Monica, that will not limit her. Mm-hmm. She will give it to her husband and go and buy the new one. and that's fine. That's fine, because she's programmed the whole thing. But we do not say when we have tired of something or when something we have is a lemon, we do not tell anybody it's a lemon, unless we're not mentally very sound. We tell everybody, hey, that is a great computer. That is a great gadget. That's fantastic. Well, would you buy another one if you could? Oh, you bet I would. I wouldn't buy that model. I'd buy a later model, but yes, you bet I would. Well, what's wrong with that model? Well, it's just fine for that it was 10 days old. Now, 10 days later, they have this one, and 10 more days, they're going to have that one, you know? And so you have to set a portion for yourself of where you're going. So if you love everything as you do it, that's all that matters. Is Monica having the time of her life with the little gadget?
Yes.
Does she carry it everywhere with her, and does she put information in constantly, and does she say, look at what I can do and how great I am, you know. I stick in my thumb and pull out a plum and say, what a good girl am I, you know. And she's just fantastic, and rightly so. But you see, Monica is going to enjoy that telephone. She's going to continue enjoying it until another one comes out that tickles her heart. And then she'll buy the other one. She won't belittle the other one. But she'll give it to her husband or her daughters, you know. And that she will do, which she said. She said to me, when the next one comes out, the real nice one, I promise this to my daughter. and her daughter Martina, who is the youngest daughter, but who is the fastest, quickest draw in the West, who really knows how to do that stuff. Her older daughter, Andrea, isn't it, is a super girl, but Andrea is at the stage in her life now where she has pants in her mind. She's a skirt that has pants in her mind. She's thinking about boys. And she's thinking about boys and dressing for them and living for them and being just a beautiful, outstanding doll for them. And that's okay. That's perfectly okay. And then the day will come that she'll get her head back together again and have all things in order. And then her mother will give her the latest that she had. But these are all things that are beautiful. Be the change you want to see in the world. What kind of change do you want to see in the world? You want to see the change where you say, all is good and very good, and I created it by my thought. Enjoy the illumination, put it to work for you, and you're doing it unconsciously. Now do it consciously. I love you. I love you. I love you.